Well, glad you joined us this morning. We are entering the month of March, and we are going to be kicking off our new series called Walking in Wisdom. This whole month, we're going to take an emphasis and just talk about wisdom and what does that actually mean. And I'm really excited for kicking it off myself personally, and then Pastor Ken is going to share his take next week. But you know, when I was about 12, I just remember this story recently. I was about 12, and it was the summer of 1998. I was really curious. My dad was driving a car that was a stick, manual, like transmission. Like, we have those cars back home, and I was really curious to learn how to drive that car. I was courageous enough to ask my dad whether he would be willing to teach me how to drive this vehicle. And first, my dad was like, you know what? You're too young, can't even reach the pedals, first of all, you know. And I thought to myself, well, you know, hopefully he's going to give in. And he actually did. This summer of 1998, I remember him showing me how it all works. You know, you press the clutch, you do this and you do that. Whenever you switch a gear, you got to press the clutch. There was a few times when I didn't do that properly and you could hear all kinds of noises. But he taught me how to drive a car, and he even let me sit in his lap and drive down the street where we used to live at. And it was a great experience. I really enjoyed it. And he even let me switch the gears as we were going down the road. So that was very interesting. I don't know if it was wise for my dad to teach me to drive the car, because there was one summer when him and my mom were gone to work, and we had two vehicles, and one of them was left in the driveway. And I thought to myself, well, my dad just taught me how to drive a vehicle. I might as well give it a try. Thinking that my parents would never find out. Obviously, I knew where the keys were. So I decided to sit in that vehicle, and the street that I used to live on was kind of like outside of the city, and there wasn't much traffic. There was only a few houses, our house. And then my first cousin actually lived down the street. Well, not really down the street. He was like 700 or 800 meters. So I decided to drive myself in my parents' vehicle while they were not home to my cousin's place and drive back. So I went to his place. I made it there in one piece to tell him that I can drive a car. And then I drove it back home and parked it just like nothing happened. Well, little did I know that a neighbor saw me driving this car and told my parents that he saw a car driving almost by itself. Wasn't sure what was happening, and obviously I was short. Thankfully, I could see the road, and I was having fun with that. My parents found out, obviously. I got a little spanking, and I also was grounded, and there was a whole bunch of other things that I wasn't allowed to do. So I don't know if it was unwise for my dad to teach me to drive at the age of 12, or whether it was more unwise for me to drive that car by myself. But what are you going to do when you're young and curious, and you try to experiment in life? And I don't know if you ever did anything unwise. Actually, have you ever done anything unwise? Maybe not like that, but anything similar that you're just not really proud of? Can I see your hands? Okay, that's good. We have a few people that can relate to some of these things here. But you know, I thought that was really cool for me to drive the car. And what I've realized, or I come to realize even to this day and age, is what usually and oftentimes what is cool is not wise. Young people in this room and older people, usually what seems cool is not really that wise. So I don't know if you are want to start making good choices, to walk in wisdom, or if you want to just stop making bad choices. If you are, then I've got a few verses to share with you this morning, and I hope you'll be encouraged as we go through this march and as we learn more about what does it mean to walk in wisdom. I think we as Christians, in the scriptures, we've been commanded to make right choices, to obey the word of God, which is the source of all wisdom. And God is the one who created this whole universe with his wisdom, and he's put it through people in this book for us to discover and uncover and walk by and live by. So that's where everything starts. But in this this year, as you know, we're talking about vision focused, and in many, many, many ways, what that means for us when it comes to this theme of wisdom is we have to make great choices, and one of them is obviously to decide to be wise and to, with our intentions, to make the right decisions. So why is that important? Because decisions define us, and they not only define us, but they also define where in life we're going to end up, and also, more important than that, whether it's a wise, or an unwise decision, it will set a path for us forward, not only for us, but also for all the people that we are surrounded with, especially the ones that we are close with, our people that we live in our households. It does not only end there, but it actually, our decisions can affect generations upon generations to come as we live this life out. And we have seen in many cases where people make decisions, and it just affects everything in their life, the whole family. It's not only that they're affected by it, but everything in their life is being affected by the decision they're making. So that's our theme, walking in wisdom. And I basically just titled this as something that I'd like you to maybe take from this morning and maybe apply to your life. And this and it's this statement, before you make any decision, the statement is, I want to be wise. Or as the young people would say, I want to be wise. I want to be wise. Do you want to be wise this morning? Well, here's how we go about it. Apostle Paul, who was he was a guy that wrote half of the Bible, half of the New Testament, was writing the book to Corinthians, and there is a book in there that's called Chapter of Love, and everybody knows that chapter, and usually they read it at the weddings, and, you know, love story, what does love mean, what is actually love, God is love, and how this God's love that is there is, this is the way that we are to live. And if whatever we accomplish in this life, it does not matter if we do not have God's love, and if it's not inspired and motivated by God's love. And there's this one verse that he says, that he mentions in Corinthians 13:11, that we often don't even, just kind of skip over. And I'm going to start it with that. And this is what he says. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But then when I became a man, I put away childish things. And the fact that he was an unbeliever, he was living in this world, doing all kinds of stuff, persecuting Christians. He was doing things that were not pleasing the Lord. And then he became a Christian, he got convicted, and he all of a sudden understood what it actually means to love God, to walk in God's ways, to fulfill his will. And he's put away all the childish things, and he started making decisions that would forever change not only him, but it changed the whole church as well. And it's still to this day influencing us as well. So for all of us here, whether we have or not accepted the Lord, and we've kind of been transformed or reborn into this life of Christian faith, there is many of us sitting here that when we were not in this Christian life and walking down this path, we were doing all kinds of different things, and we were making all kinds of choices that were not wise. But then we became Christians, and we started reading the Bible, and we started spending the time in the Word, and started spending time with the Lord. And then we realized that a lot of those things were childish, and we started making right decisions and right choices. The Bible talks a lot about wisdom, mentions it a lot of times, to be exact, 234 times, so it's got to be important. And the Bible even talks about how the fact that everything was created with the Word of God, through God's wisdom. And I'm going to start with verses from Proverbs. And here's where we're going to start. Proverbs 16:16, he says this, how much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. At this time, when Solomon, who wrote this, by the way, there's four wisdom books in the Bible out of the 66 books. The obvious one is Proverbs. If you want to get wisdom, you read Proverbs, because Proverbs has a lot of great things written by the wisest man that ever lived. Then you've got Song of Songs, which is also written by him, Solomon himself. Then you've got Ecclesiastes, which is also the book that he wrote, the wisest man that ever lived. And then there's one more book of wisdom that a lot of people were questioning whether that's actually the book of wisdom. But if you want to get wisdom about life, this is the fourth book. It's the book of Job. It's actually considered to be a wisdom literature. So Proverbs is where we're going to stay most of the day, most of the morning this morning. And I want to start here. Proverbs 16:16. It's much better to get wisdom than gold. At that time, when Solomon was alive, there was a currency in exchange, and it was all valued to the system of gold and silver, and that was the most valuable possession at that time. Even today, gold is one of the most valuable possessions. But he was saying that wisdom is more valuable than gold or silver. Then Proverbs 4:7, he said, the beginning of all wisdom is this, get wisdom. And then he goes, he says, though it cost all you have, get understanding. So the thing that is worth the most that you can have and you can possess in this life is not millions and millions of dollars in your bank account. And that would be nice, though I'll admit that. It's not all the assets that you can own on this planet while you live. It's not all the things that you have to show. But it is the wisdom, the Bible says, that is the worth, the most worthy of them all. And the guy who wrote this, like I mentioned, Solomon, is the guy who had a privilege to have a conversation with God personally and get asked a question that most of us wish we got asked by God. And the story goes, Solomon, who was a son of David, who was a king of Israel, he was the famous king. You know the story of David and Goliath and all those things. He had a son, Solomon, who took over his kingdom and was about to lead and rule and reign. And just before he started leading and ruling, he was about 21 years of age, is what the scholars believe, when he took over. He got a visitation by God, and God had a conversation with him and then asked him, Solomon, what is it that you want? Ask me anything you want, and I will give it to you. Imagine if God came to you today and asked you, what is it that you want, my dear child? I will give it to you. Whatever it is, just speak a word and I will make it happen. I'll be honest. I don't know if my answer would be good. 21 years old, you know, young people nowadays, whether you're 20 in your 20s or 30s or whatever stage of your life you're in, you're thinking like, you're 21, well, I got a whole life to live. I could have something. But it is a thing that he didn't ask for that impressed God. That people thought he might have maybe asked for, or you may be thinking that he would want. But he didn't. And this is how the story goes. God approached him in a dream. He said, ask for whatever you want for me to give you. This is 1 Kings 3:1-9. And then Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart and on and on. And now verse 7, he says this, now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I'm only a little child and I do not know how to carry out my duties. He didn't know how to carry out his duties. Your servant is here among the people that you have chosen, great people, too numerous to count or number. And then verse 9 is his request. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? And then this answer impressed God so much that God responds, and he says, he was so pleased with it. He said, because you didn't ask, since you haven't asked for long life, for wealth, which is probably the things that we would have maybe asked, long life, wealth. You even haven't asked for the death of all your enemies. Wow, that would be good, wouldn't it? God, just kill them all right now. We don't need them. You know, you haven't asked for that, but you asked for discerning heart. I will give you not only a discerning heart and wise heart, but I'm going to give you more once you ask for. I want to give you wealth. I'm going to give you honor. You're going to be the richest person that you will ever be on this planet. And that's been recorded and that's been known that Solomon was the richest that's ever lived. He's had the wealth that you couldn't count, you couldn't compare to anybody else today. Elon Musk, not even close, like 10 times the size of Elon Musk. And so it was just incredible. But it was the wisdom that he asked for that made God bless him so much that he could just house, his house was overflowing. Now, I do want to make a point here as well, that even though he had wisdom, he did not finish well. He did not make some right choices. And I'm not going to go into depth when it comes to his life, but a lot of scholars do believe, if you read the Book of Wisdom, Ecclesiastes, where he actually talks about wealth and all the things that he's accumulated in life, he said, it is all a waste. It is all useless. If you don't have fear of God in your heart, it's all in vain. So a lot of scholars do believe that at the end of his life, he repented. But he did use his wisdom to be crafty with girls and do all kinds of stuff. People were coming. There was queens coming. There was kings coming from far apart to just hear him speak because he was so wise. He was so wise. He had this anointing of God upon him. So in accordance to what I just read, what actually wisdom is, it's a God-given ability to discern what is right and just, apply knowledge with understanding, and lead with humility and righteousness. That's what wisdom is according to this here of what Solomon requested. But I also want to say this. The wisdom is not just knowing what's right from wrong. Wisdom is also choosing God over everything, every single time. Choosing God over everything, every single time in your life. So, if you talk to people nowadays and you ask them, what do you think wisdom is? And a lot of people will start here, and I would have started here too as well. Wisdom is knowledge. It's knowing a lot of things. I can pull up my cell phone today and I can ask Siri anything that I want to know. And Siri is going to pull up all kinds of resources and websites for me to learn all about that subject or that topic, right? We live in a world that's over information. There's schools, there's degrees, there's all kinds of stuff. But having a lot of information does not automatically equate to wisdom. We live in a world that's drowning in information, but is starving for wisdom. And what wisdom involves, it involves not only knowledge, but actually applying that knowledge with discernment and understanding. And that's what the book of Proverbs talks a lot about. If you want to get deeper into what wisdom is, it's applying that knowledge with discernment and understanding. There's a lot of people in this world that can be highly educated and have all kinds of degrees and be in biochemistry, science, and I don't know what, but these people lack the judgment to make the wise choices. There's a lot of people like that out there, have all the knowledge, but they still can't keep their family together. They still can't be committed in their relationship. They still have to cheat and lie on taxes. And the Bible talks a lot about knowledge, and he mentions knowledge as also in Proverbs as something that puffs up, that makes people arrogant. Knowledge is for the head, but wisdom is for the heart. Knowledge teaches you, but wisdom transforms you. And in that, wisdom is supernatural because it can transform us from the inside out. And it's more than just information, it's actually application, it's actually living it out. So wisdom is not just knowledge, it's actually applying that knowledge with discernment and understanding. It's about making wise choices and honoring God that will benefit us and others as well. Wisdom is not knowledge. And number second thing that the wisdom is not, it's not age either. Golden years, we've heard that statement. People say, with gray hair comes wisdom. This statement usually suggests that obviously older people are wiser people, which in some cases is true, but age does not equal wisdom and wise choices. Because I know a lot of people that have gray hair that are older than me that just do not make right choices and do not walk in wisdom. You might know some of them as well. Bible does talk about gray hair as being a sign of wisdom, but that gray hair has to be coupled with God in their life and having God in their heart. Proverbs 20:29 says this, the glory of young men is their strength. And young men, all about working out and lifting weights, and we are strong. But old gray hair is the splendor of the old. So Proverbs says, so if you have a little bit of a gray hair this morning, I just want to encourage you. There's wisdom there. You have more wisdom than you think. Proverbs 16:31 says this, gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained in the way of righteousness. Don't dye your hair. I'm joking. You can dye your hair. But it's a crown of splendor. It's a crown that you can wear with pride to say, there's been some battles here that I've been through, and I can show you in my hair. I can show you how I've been fighting and where I've ended up today. So there's wisdom in age, but it's not necessarily wisdom. Age is the wisdom. Bible talks a lot about wisdom as being something that comes from wise counsel. And if you read the Proverbs, there's at least dozens of verses just talking about how if you want wisdom in life, you go and you ask for wise counsel. One of them is Proverbs 15:22. It says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many adversaries, they succeed. Proverbs 19:20, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Proverbs 24:6, it says, for by wise guidance, you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors, there is victory. So wise counsel is very important, and I believe when it comes to decisions in life, that wise counsel is almost necessary for us to be on the straight path. That's why we have spiritual leaders. That's why we have people in the church, ministry leaders, people that have been at it for a while. But when it's coupled, like I said, with not just the age, but also having a fear of God in their heart. So I have never been disappointed. I'm yet to be disappointed when I don't know something, when I go to someone that's older and wiser, that has gray hair, asking a question for a counselor. I'm yet to be disappointed with the answer, because there's always something that I can learn and I can grow in. So wisdom is not knowledge, it's not age. And wisdom, the last thing I'm going to make a statement here, it's a little controversial, but I'll explain. So just hang in for a minute. Wisdom is not fate. Wisdom is not fate. What does that mean? Well, fate is a little different, because we don't really need wisdom to have faith in God to do something for us. And what I mean by that, you know, I know a lot of people that have faith, but they just don't have wisdom. They have a lot of faith in their life, and they believe God for a lot of things to happen, but they just don't live their life in wisdom. But I rarely know ones that have wisdom, but they don't have faith. Usually people that have faith have a lot of wisdom. People that have wisdom have a lot of faith. So wise people know that it's always wise to trust in the Lord, to have faith in God. But here's the point I'm trying to make here, why wisdom is not faith. Because you can have faith in God to do something for you. Right in this moment, you may be believing for a miracle, you may be going through something, and you're believing that God would do come through for you. And you can, let's say, use an example. You can have faith in God that God is going to provide an amazing spouse for you. Amazing wife, amazing husband. They're going to be everything that you ever wanted, everything that you ever dreamed. And God can do that. I believe that God can do that. If you're single this morning, God can do that. But it takes wisdom to make that relationship work once you get married and once you get in that relationship, right? So you can believe that God will provide that for you, but it takes wisdom to actually walk it out. You can believe and you can have faith for God to provide a breakthrough and a healing for you right now. For whatever you're struggling, whatever you need healing for in your life. But it takes wisdom to walk in that healing, to walk in that health, to actually understand that the choices that we make matter. And also there's a lot of sicknesses, there's a lot of unhealthy people that have been caught, a lot of sicknesses that have been caused by not so wise choices, by going to grocery stores, hanging out in a junk aisle, buying chips, buying cookies, buying sweets, eating and drinking Pepsis and Cokes and all that kind of stuff, not realizing that these are the things that can cause health issues. It takes wisdom to get healed from diabetes. I mean, faith to get healed from diabetes. But it takes wisdom to walk it out and watch your nutrition, and watch what you eat, and take care of your body, and work out, and take care of your health so that you don't get sick. It takes faith for you to believe supernatural provision for your finances. When you come to a situation and you're realizing, oh, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. I really don't have money for this bill that just came in. This January was just cold and our bill was like tripled with hydro, whatever, utilities. It's like, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. This is just out of ordinary bill. It takes faith to believe that God can provide finances, and God can always provide finances. God is more powerful, God owns it all. He can provide in a moment something that we can't do in a lifetime. He can provide finances, but it takes wisdom to walk in what? To walk in good stewardship, dealing with money, budgeting, saving, not overspending, not maxing your credit cards, and not wasting the resources that God has given you. It takes wisdom to actually live it out, because we know a lot of people that have a lot of money. They have a lot of income, but they don't have a lot of money. You may know some people that have crazy income. They just never seem to have money, because of the wisdom that they don't have of what it takes to actually manage these finances. God has given us His wisdom in His Word. Are we actually living it out? God says, give and it'll be given to you. Are you actually living that out? Are you actually giving? Are you actually being generous? Because God is generous. He wants to bless us. So, wisdom is not knowledge, it's not age, it's not faith, and I could probably go another 63 points to add to this list, but I'm just going to end it here, because I want to move into something more important, what actually wisdom is, and what actually produces wisdom in our life. And the first thing is, wisdom is fear of the Lord. And we know this verse found in Proverbs 9:10. Again, Solomon writes this. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now, the fear, when I say fear, and when we say fear, we a lot of us run to this negative aspect of fear, which we even say, well, how can I fear the Lord? I'm not afraid of God. Not in that sense. You know, when we talk about fear, it's not like you're walking down the street and there's a dog, it's really dim, and you see a big dog coming at you. You're like, okay, should I run from my life? This actually happened to me once. I ran from my life. Dog was chasing me down the street. Thankfully, nothing happened. But that not that type of fear, not that unhealthy fear. I'm talking about the healthy fear. And when I say healthy fear, this is what this word fear means. It actually means reverence. It means honor. It means respect. Because denial of God and His laws is the height of all foolishness. It is the beginning of all unwise, stupid decisions that we make in our life. Foolish decisions come from us not being aligned with God's heart and also not being in reverence of Him and not being honoring to Him and not being respectful to Him and His commands. Every foolish decision that I have ever made in my life has been because of the lack of reverence and honor that I had towards God. It's when we are not fearful of the consequences that may come. But wisdom is being in reverence, in awe, in honor, in respect, in goodness, in his just this marvelous power, his power and his presence. That's the fear that we are to have, that reverence. And if we don't have it in the beginning, we're not going to have it in the middle or the end. But this is the beginning of all wisdom, is to have that reverence towards God and towards His Word. So I can put it this way to explain it to you when it comes to fear, healthy fear. We're not afraid of cops, are we? Are you afraid of cops? Because cops are here to protect us, right? They're here to serve us. They serve us. And a lot of times, there was times, multiple times when I was driving, and I wasn't being a good driver. I was cutting people off. I was switching the lanes without giving a signal. I was running the stop signs. I was running the red lights. And sometimes I'd be even speeding on a road that's, you know, it's 60, and I'm like driving 100. It's happened, right? Thankfully, I didn't get caught. But if there was a cop driving behind me while I was on the road, I would be the best driver that you've ever met in your entire life. Right? Not because I'm afraid of the cop, because he's in a, you know, cop, I'm afraid of him and there's a police car. I'm telling you, I've actually had this happen multiple times, and you might have had it happen. The cop just shows up out of nowhere driving behind you. You're like, oh no, he's going to pull me over. Hopefully I didn't do anything wrong, right? And then the next thing is like, okay, he's not pulling me over, so I'm good. I'm in the clean. I did everything right. And then he's following you, and then you are behaving. You roll up to the stop sign, and you fully stop. Almost like you break, and you're just like, oh, and then you look up, you're like, yes. And then you keep driving, and then you're like, you're switching the lane, you're like checking your blind spot, you're doing the signal, right? You're doing everything properly, and you are behaving so well, but you're not afraid of the cop. You have reverence that obviously something, if you were to do something, you know that you might get pulled over and you might have some consequences. That's the fear that we're talking about. We're not talking about fear, oh, I'm afraid of the cop. We shouldn't be afraid. They're there to serve us. But that kind of fear I'm talking about, or when I was a kid, I remember, you might have, if you were in a classroom, there's 30 kids, and the teacher gets called to the principal, and then the classroom just goes wild. We just go wild. Everybody's screaming and yelling as if the teacher is not going to come back. And some of us go up and pretend like we're teachers and stuff like that, you know. And then, boom, the teacher comes back. Everybody's back. Everything is back to normal. Everybody's quiet. Or, like I did when my parents weren't home, you do some things because your parents are not home. But if you have reverence and you have that healthy fear, you won't do stupid things in life if you have fear towards God. Our world and our culture has lost the true reverence of God. The world that we live in does not revere, does not fear God. That's why they run wild in circles. So that reverence is what we need. That's where everything starts. That deep, profound respect, that honor, that awe, that humble submission to His supreme power, His holiness, and just we demonstrate that through our walking in wisdom, obviously, in devotion and submission to His will. Do you fear? Do you honor? Do you reverence God? Do you, when you're faced with things in life, do you have reverence towards God to know that what consequences may be if you make some choices that would not be pleasing to Him? Or maybe you ask yourself a question. What's God's thoughts about this? How does He feel about this? What would be the wise thing to do in this situation. Wisdom is also discernment. Proverbs 14:8 says this: the mocker seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge comes easy to the discerning heart. Discernment is simply good judgment. And Proverbs 3:7 says this: do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and shun evil. This process of discernment is continuous. It's not just once we discern one thing and we just keep moving on. It is a continuous process that we are to walk in. Walking in wisdom is a journey. It's not a destination. And the third thing that wisdom is it's seeing things from God's perspective. It's practically applying His knowledge, His laws, His word, His will, knowing His thoughts, knowing His promises, trusting His word. It's applying it. It's looking at this life from this perspective, not from our perspective, but looking at it through His kingdom principles and applying it and living it out. Looking at life through the lens of God. That's what wisdom is. Looking at life through His word. That's what wisdom is. Looking at a situation, it may be chaotic, it may be messy, but you look to the word and say, what does the word of God say about this? How does God feel about this? How does God feel about this person? How should I act? What does God think of that? I don't have a lot of time left, so I'm just going to go through this really quick, the last portion of my message, which is Ephesians 5:15-21, where Paul instructs church in Ephesus, and this is what he says: so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days, and do not act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to actually walk in wisdom? It's to look at this scripture and say, here's what do I need to do? How do I live this out? We need to, like it says here in verse 15, don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. We need to seek to walk wisely. We need to seek to walk wisely. Why should we do that? Because it's important. Every decision that we make today affects us and other people around us. Every action that we make will affect generations to come. It also reveals what kind of people we are. Are we walking on the wide road, wide path, or are we walking on the narrow road? And the Bible talks about the narrow and the wide road. And a lot of people go down the wide road because it's much easier and it's comfortable and everybody's there. But fewer those who walk the narrow road. And many times in life, we can choose the easy path and what looks pleasant, what looks practical to us, without considering where it leads. Wisdom calls us to look carefully beyond before we step and look to God. Where is this path? Where is this decision going to take me? What's the difference between wisdom and foolishness, or being wise and unwise? You see, the unwise person will walk through this life carelessly and make their decisions based on three things. Number one is their feelings. It just feels right to do this. They will make decisions based on their desires. Well, if I want it, I should have it. And they make their choices by the world's standards, which means everyone else is doing it, so it must be okay. But the wise person follows the word of God, which is the wisdom. And Psalm 1 says this, it reminds us of this: blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Wisdom is not just the knowledge. It's actually taking that law and applying it to our day-to-day life. Also, like it says here, be wise, make the best use of our time. That's wisdom. Our time on this earth is short. Do you believe that? We don't have much time left. I'm trying to be optimistic here. our time. If I talk to people, they're a little older. If I ask them, you know, they'll say that, where did the time go? So fast, time just, you turn around, it just, bam, it just vanishes. Ephesians 5:16, making the best of use of time because the days are evil. We live in evil days, and we are surrounded by a lot of distractions, by a lot of temptations. And what enemy wants to do, what his goal for us is simply this. He wants to steal our time. He wants us to waste our days, and he wants to keep us from fulfilling God's purpose in our life. That's what the enemy wants. He wants you to be so busy with all the things that don't matter that you would miss out on what God is telling you that you should do. He wants you to miss out on all the great choices that would have made you a better husband, a better wife, a better parent, all the things that you need to do because you're so busy with so many things in life. And you miss out on what is God calling you to do. So in order for us to redeem the time, we need to prioritize, obviously, God's will. We need to be intentional, and we need to live this life with eternity in mind. That's wisdom. Knowing that we don't have a lot of time here, and we need to just not just live for the moment, but we need to make choices in each moment that will matter in the long run. A wise person will understand that the time that we have is a gift, but the foolish person will waste it on things that do not matter. So what are we doing with our time that God has given us? It's a question that I have for you this morning. And I love this last thing that he mentions in these verses. He says, don't be filled with wine and all these things, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with right things, which is God and his presence. What is your cup filled with? What is your heart full of? Are you full of the Holy Spirit? Do you want more of the Spirit's leading in your life? Do you truly desire that? Do you really want to follow the Spirit's leading? What is our cup full of? What is our heart full of? You see, mouth speaks what our heart is full of. That's what the Bible talks about a lot. Oftentimes, it doesn't take too much to just hear how people talk to realize whether they are wise or not. Because a lot of things are in our heart come out through our mouth. And Luke 6:45 says this, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man will bring evil things out of the evil that's stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So Paul is saying, be filled with the Spirit. That word filled here is used when speaking of wind filling the sails of the ship. That's the word that's being used here in original Greek. In other words, it's this directing force or a picture of something that controls a person. We are to be controlled by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. And when we walk in the Spirit and we are filled with the Spirit, we will fulfill God's purpose for our life. We will have the fruits of the Spirit as well. Do you want God's wisdom? Do you want to walk in it? Do you want to live in it? Well, these are the things that we need to do. We need to desire. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be intentional with our time. And we also need to, like I said, we need to seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. James 1:5, I'm going to close it with this verse. It says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, for whatever it is that you need, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Wow. You can ask God right now in this moment to have wisdom for whatever it is that you need wisdom for, and he will give it to you freely. As we all stand, and as I close this message, I would like to just point out one more thing. And Jesus makes a statement to the Pharisees on his way out, close to the time when he was going to be given to the Romans. And he's making a statement. He's doing this healthy protest, and he's talking to them about how someone who is standing right in front of them right now is greater than Jonah, is greater than Solomon, is greater than anybody that they have ever come across. And he's saying to them, you have wisdom right here in your presence, and you're missing it out. You're missing it out. And really, at the end of the day, like Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He's greater than Solomon, who was considered the wisest man, because he was God. He was the wisdom of all things. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. And a lot of people in this life lack wisdom because they don't have Jesus. Jesus is wisdom. His spirit is wisdom. That's where everything starts, with Jesus. I don't know if you know Jesus personally, or if you don't, we can pray this morning. We're going to have people come forward here, and we can do more intentional praying where you can give your life to Christ fully and allow him to come and be your wisdom and be your leader. Be someone who's going to lead you and guide you. And then whenever you are about to make a choice, you can say, God, I want to be wise. Give me wisdom. Show me what I need to do. I want to walk in wisdom. I want to seek your choice, your will for my life. Before I just go to prayer, I just want you to first examine your life. Obviously, examine how you walk. Seek God's wisdom in everything. And seek his presence in your life above everything else. Because that's where everything starts. So Father God, we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for creating everything around us with your wisdom. We thank you for that wisdom that you are so willing to freely give to us so that we may walk in wisdom, so that we may make right choices, so that we may shine your light to people around us. God, I pray that you would forgive us, Jesus, of every time that we have made decisions out of unhealthy fear, and when we didn't have fear and reverence of you. Forgive us, God. Cleanse us, Jesus, and help us, Jesus, to really be intentional. First, be intentional with our relationship with you and grow in that and grow in wisdom and read the Bible, not just to read the Bible, but to actually get wisdom and to walk in it, to live it out. Help us, God. We need your strength. You've given us your spirit. So may it overflow in us, and may we be led by your spirit every single day of our lives. We pray these things, and we ask for them.